Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a minute, how it joins me to talk as every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just call 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to Tutalk's website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or search for Starfleet Universal On Call or SFU On Call. You should find us there. That's one way of doing it. But for the best experience, you want to go on twitch.tv. Yes, twitch.tv/SFU On Call is where you will find us. You can join us there and you have join the chat room, and it's just a wonderful time there. Now, you can contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to, you can follow me on Twitter while it still exists. That's sfuoncall again. Also, Paul France, PAULFRANZ. There's no T in that. And also, Franz Games. And of course, it's lovely podcast. Gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. From ADB this week, it's been pretty quiet. The only thing of note is that ADB got a new printer. Because, you know, they've been doing things on demand, and they've been using these huge printers, and they just got a brand new one in to the office. Looks like they bought it instead of leasing it. At least that's my understanding from the Post, because when they said they bought it, I'm assuming they... So it's a beautiful piece of machinery, so they can print out multiple, you know, many more copies of SSD books and modules and so forth. So if you need to order them, they're back. They're ready to put them into production mode. When it comes to SFB Online tournaments, obviously, 2 weeks ago, I think it's 2 weeks ago at this point, Seth Szymanski is the winner for the Sapphire Star 13 tournament. Also, last week we had the tournament up in Toronto. I noticed that there were some posts about it, but on Facebook, I did not capture it. I just thought about it while I'm talking here. So sorry for my. I will hopefully get who the winner was from this year's tournament there so you guys can know that. When it comes to online client stuff, not much happened there. Though, when it comes to SFB Online SFB Online website itself, I did add a new registration page. This is for free demo account so that you can log in using your account. It's free, but you know you don't get all the goodies if you have a demo account. That's, you know, just have the Klingon, one Klingon ship and one Federation ship, so you can actually log in, and it acts like if you had the old, you know, demo underscore your call sign. Now that's the first step, and multiple steps that I plan on doing when it comes to changing the flow of how you actually get an account and so forth. When it comes to the library report, not much happening there. Actually, I got some new and some updated ships from Frank. He's updating some of the Klingon third gen SSDs. So. I should be able to have some time in the next week to process them and then update the library with those new 3D, third gen SSDs. So that is the news for this week. And it means the one-on-one conference welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, Looks like it's just me all by my lonesome. I just tried to call Doug, and Doug didn't pick up. Not sure why, but he didn't pick up. So then Jeff's not here, and Gary's not here, which means, hi, it's just me tonight. So given that means I have to come up with a topic. Actually, I have a topic that I want at least to start off with for this evening, which is something I worked on actually over the week. And that is the update to the SFB Online website, the quick thing, which is some plans going forward and to change the way signups occur for SFB Online. I've started the process. Actually, I started the process sooner than I expected because I totally forgot about it, which was, I'm not sure if I talked about it at all. I think I might have talked about it a little bit, which is I did something stupid. But, hey, happens to the best of us. And that is, the one thing that I did that was stupid was that since the current release of the client that was so long in coming, I've been working on it for so long, I forgot everything some things that I put in there or removed from there. And one of those things was, for those of you who haven't, well, most of you probably didn't even notice it, and which is the demo button. There used on the login screen, there used to be a demo checkbox. You just say, okay, I'm going to log in as a demo. In which case, if you log in as a demo, then what it does is it'll say demo account, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, demo underscore, whatever call sign that you enter in. So you can still have a unique. It was kind of obvious that you're the demo account and so forth. And, you know, one thing that I did, I removed that. Well, I forgot that I removed it. And then I start getting some emails going, I can't log in as a demo. And it's like, well, you can't? Then I realized that I had removed that because it was a something I wanted to move forward with, which was the whole idea of have it so that people would sign up for a demo account. And then with a demo account, I was hoping to put them into a constant contact system, that kind of thing, where I could start off with, oh, welcome. Here's an initial, here's a link to how to show you how to use the client. And possibly even a constant contact system where the idea is that starting with the first day, this is what you get. Starting maybe next day after that or so forth. I have to figure out the timing and so forth. It would send you another email for that, but not go, this is one of those things you have to be very, very, very careful with because of the issue is you don't want to become, because your brand, the person's brand new. Now, obviously, that they have signed up for an account, so they've given you the right to send them email, but you don't want to abuse that right and then, therefore, go into the spam category, you know, and obviously for this multiple emails, you'd want to have the ability for people to go, okay, click, I don't want to receive any more of these kind of emails, the introductory emails. And that's the idea, is that you have these introductory emails showing, at the very least, have links, you know, maybe have some quick little suggestions on what you can do, to all the way to links to YouTube videos of how to use the client. Now, excuse me. I just realized I'm not monitoring Twitch over here, and I apologize for not over here being here over here on Twitch. So, don't mind me. Bum, 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 bum. And there, okay, it says I'm live. Yes, I am live. That's right. That's me. I'm live. I'm alive. Okay, go. Okay, so make sure I'm all good there. Okay, good. I apologize for the brief interruption. I should have started by doing that, but I forgot. I apologize. So you know, the idea is that to help people along the process. Obviously, part of that, and especially in this day and age, is I need to also work on a robot. What's called a robot player, and moving forth with that, I forget where it was. Whether I don't have a robot player currently that kind of works. The one thing that I remember talking to you guys about in the past was with this robot player. The thing with the robot player is that I still needed to connect it into the client. I wasn't sure how to connect it into the client. And these days people are more want that comfort, in my mind, that comfort level to have a automated player so that they can at the very least kind of not test their metal. I was going to say test their metal, but I think that's really, well, describing is a very bad term, but have a introduction into the client without having the social issue of being embarrassing. You don't know how to use the client. You know, you can have all the videos in the world, but I don't think, it's one of those things, it's like reading a textbook. You can read a textbook all you want. You can read and gain so much knowledge about a certain subject. But until the time you actually put that subject, the knowledge to use, it's I'm not going to say useless, because that's not what I was looking for. You don't really know how to do things. It's like reading up about, you know, all the medical stuff, you know, how the body works and so forth, and not actually getting out there and doing a certain, you know, cutting someone open to help fix a heart pump or whatever. You know, you can read about it, but until you actually do it, totally different thing. So, that, and having so that people actually have introduction videos and have an automated player, I think that really helps them being introduced. Now, obviously, I know what people would love to have, and it's like, not on your life. And what was it? I think somebody already tried this. I know people really would like to have an SFB player. Not going to happen. It's way, the SFB rule book is way too large. And even ChatGPT itself saying SFB is way too complicated to actually try to write a system to automate the moves, basically have an automated client, automated player. So even if ChatGPT also agrees, hey, what am I supposed to say? But you know, I can still have it. I think have the tools for a FedCom player, and I'm pretty sure if I have FedCom, then I definitely have the Cadet. And I just need to automate more. Now, The next thing I wanted to work on, which... the funny part about this is that I was told to do this 10 years ago, and I kind of pushed back on that idea just because I knew how hard of work, how much work it would require, and certain things still aren't perfect when it comes to doing that, which is Ken Burnside, many years ago at this moment in time, suggested that basically he told me to basically make it like Adobe, you know, Adobe, what's the Adobe product? I can't remember the actual Adobe product itself that was done. Photoshop. I think it's Photoshop. And which is the whole idea is you take the panels and you can create as many windows as you want so that you can actually control the panels and so forth. Now, I did look into the idea of doing basically a full screen app, and I come to realize that when it's a full screen app, I mean, it means full screen, which means you now have taken over the full screen. That means any windowing and so forth, you have to draw yourself. And I went, not pass. Because if I'm gonna do windowing all by myself and so forth, what I would do at that point is actually I'd use like Unity or I think Unreal. I forget the systems. But doing that, I have a whole different set of tools. Obviously, I looked at, I think it was Unity. I think it was. I was trying to create Starfield Battle Force. Have it so that you can actually play. And the big thing there is that one, learning a new system, which is definitely completely different from the way it works in Java. But then there are things that I would not know how to do in Unity, and the biggest thing there was communication. How do you communicate between two clients? The whole idea of having an MMORPG is that it might be written in Unity, but until you actually send it packets or commands or locations, things like that, and have that reflected on the other side, then you just got a first-person game. And I'm assuming, I apologize for this. I forgot to do one thing. I forgot to start that.
Recording started.
Yeah, there it goes. I forgot to start Talk Shoe first. The topic for tonight is the SW Online client and some of the updates and some of the things I want to do for the future. That reminds me, Iggy, that I need to look at some of, I know you submitted a bug report, and I need to actually examine the bug report. Now Jeff shows up. Oh, come on. Okay. I think Jeff might be having some technical difficulty. Oh, there's the microphone. Hey, Jeff. Can I hear you? Can you hear me? Because I can't hear you at the moment. I'm pretty sure I'm recording. on this side, and that's usually where the issue lies. Okay, yeah. And I don't see anything from you. And make sure, okay, yeah, I can hear that. I've got, okay, well, Jeff, the moment I can't hear you, not sure what's going on at the moment. So you might have to disconnect and reconnect. Maybe that'll help. But yeah. So the big thing with, oh geez. Compass Games Expo. No, I'm not going. Of course, I don't know where the expo is. Oh, what's this? No audio detected. Participant may be having microphone problems. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, because I'm not hearing anything, Jeff. And TalkShoe agrees with me that there's some technical difficulty with that. Oh, yeah. Iggy, I'm not going to head up to Meriden, Connecticut. I think that's a little far. I just came back from being down at Cape Hatteras in North Carolina, you know, with the Outer Banks. So I don't think I'll be making it up to Connecticut. But anyway, obviously, I just put out a release with Trails. I got some feedback on that one, where I think it was Seth, where he wasn't working on his computer. I'm not sure why at the moment. And I guess you have to check, because it's one of those things that people, one thing you need to remember when it comes to feedback reports. The feedback reports are great. They're best if they're done by the person who's having the problem. When you send a feedback report, it just tells me about the information about your client, like any errors that you've received, you know, what your environment is like. You know, is it Windows? What version of Windows? Is it Linux? Okay, what is the distribution of Linux? Things like that. That's what it will send to me. And the reason why I prefer it that way is because then I can get the information about those people and hopefully maybe duplicate it myself or help, and therefore help to solve the problem that the person's having with their client. Okay, Jeff, you there now? I'm going to try this again. Oh boy. You got it. Jeff, I think you got a real bad connection. Yeah. Cutting out. It's. It's worse than saw landing. Okay, well, Jeff, I'm gonna mute you because you're not. I can't really. All I'm hearing is pings and pops and things like that. Okay, I'm gonna mute Jeff. Sorry, Jeff. All I heard was pings and pops, and so I'm not. You know. I'm not sure what to do at the moment because I want to talk to you, but if all I'm hearing is just pings and pops and basically, it's worse. To me, it's level, which is worse than sidelining. Sidelining means you actually can understand the person. They just sound like a robot. But in this case, can't really even understand Jeff. And I apologize, Jeff, I had to mute you, but I think it's kind of pointless if I really can't talk to you. Meaning, you know, like I don't hear your voice. But anyway, yeah. So, you know, I need to review those and hopefully maybe get an update by in the next couple of weeks or something. If there's something critical, I'll definitely put that to the top of the list then. I think the only trail other than one not working, of course, then there's the one issue, which is it has to do basically with the person, but there's no actual support on shifting the game board because of what happens is people will move their counter because they're shifting the whole board, but the history for where the ship was is where the ship the history of where the ship was, so it doesn't get shifted when the position of the ship actually gets shifted, because the storage is the absolute hex location and the facing of that ship. Excuse me. Sorry. Where was I? Crap. Yeah, the trails. I have to check with Iggy. Iggy sent me something. I got to see if he ran into issue. Obviously, even before I released it, there were some people already calling for a way to disable it. That at the moment, you can disable it. You can disable it for all of the ships. You just can't disable it on a per ship basis. Also, there was a request to have it so that each ship had its own color. Excuse me. And also be able to turn on and off based on individual ships. I think somebody pointed out that they didn't think tracking of like shuttles would be something that's really interesting. I kind of disagree with that. I think tracing that is a good thing. Obviously, as I pointed out before, I need to add actual support into the client for actually shifting the map. Having said, everything on the map gets shifted, and then since I know how much it's being shifted, then I can go into the history of the ship itself and then just move those locations so that when you do actually do a real shift of the board, that the positions of the history can also be shifted, and therefore you don't have this really strange artifact where you have, when you shift it, the one where the current is the ship or unit location is modified, you don't get this huge long line between the last position and where it currently is. Okay. The chat room is chatting about things other than SFB, which is fine. Talking about games other than SFB, you know, at least between these two players. Which is fine. You know, I don't mind that at all. But, get back to where I was. Other than, you know, obviously updating the trails feature to be a little more configurable, I think it's probably gonna be on the plate. I'm hoping to get I'm hoping to do something which I was looking at Eve the other week, but I was looking at I wanted to have it so that when it comes to the way the board looked, it was closer to Eve, to a certain degree, where you have the main board in the middle of the screen, And then you could have like the listing of the ships on the ships that are on the board to be over on the right-hand side. But the thing is, what I come to find out, when I was looking at some EVE Online videos, is that what that currently is for, like listing, what you can see on the side is you can see like a listing of maybe the asteroids or whatever it's in that solar system. So it's an information panel. And the one thing I realized is that that information panel is actually kind of a window, because it has the windows decorations on that. So I'm guessing that if I want to, I could do, I can minimize it and things like that, for or even make it wider or something like along those lines. I was just thinking that maybe that's what I should do. And then then find a couple articles on how to basically snazz up the client. In this case, have it so that the window is transparent, and that would be great, especially if transparent. So basically, it makes it also look like EVE Online when it comes to that part of it. Obviously, EVE Online and SFB Online are two completely different games, but there's certain approaches that I like that I'm hoping to duplicate in the SFB Online client that they do in EVE Online. Obviously, certain things that I don't expect to do at all, like the 3D animation and all that kind of thing. I don't expect to do that. Doing a 2D, and what I really would like to do, but I'm not sure if I can ever do it, which is I would love to have updated counters. Meaning high resolution counters that you could actually have someone play on a big screen, and it would then scale up the counters, and it wouldn't get blocky because of it was designed from the get-go to be expandable. It's called scalable. Instead of in a physical, bit by bit, graphical file, it's like SVG or PDF, or I'm thinking about anything else that actually is a file, a vector type of file format. One which is kind of out there, but it's the same kind of thing when it comes to that, which is AutoCAD files, So. Right. Oh, understood. Yeah, but yeah, it's kind of right. I understand that in Eve, usually you program for what's near you, but the concept is still exactly the same. That is that you have an information window for you on the right-hand side. Information, in this case, for Eve, it's what's near you. In the case of SFB, it doesn't have to be what's near you, because you just have to have it what's okay. You might want to show, okay, what are just the ships? Or do you want to see ships and fighters, or just fighters without ships? There are certain things that are actually part of the client which aren't well documented. I did, because of my one experience with, I had a fleet battle where the Andromedan, of playing Andromedans, and had this force of Hydrans and Feds, and the Feds had they had a lot of counters. They had a lot of counters. So played one session, and then it's like, okay, this is kind of nuts. So what I actually worked on, and I have it, I just don't think I've really documented all that well, because Lord knows my documentation for the client that really doesn't thrill anyone, because it mostly does not exist, is I added the ability to hide, you know, to do that, you know, to say, okay, I want to remove all of the point of slip and point of turn counters on the board, and go, you have a key combination and boom, they all disappear. Because for the most part, they can get in the way. Obviously, you still need them because they give you a good sense of on the quote unquote physical board of how many hexes you have moved before you need a turn. Now, obviously, you can get the same information by looking at the column. You can add a column in the configuration for the game control window. Now, the whole idea being with that, yes. Oh, what is it, kitty? Oh. He's got his claws kind of into me, so. Yes, it's not like I can help you, cat. Yes. So, you know, it. Right. Now, the question for SFB Online is how many tabs do you want? Because of currently I got 3 tabs, and honestly, I don't know how many people even look at them. Because we have the onboard, we have the offboard. No, the offboard support isn't that good. Be honest, I'm not sure. We do have the idea of offboard pieces, which in theory, what you would use the offboard pieces for are reinforcements. You know, the idea of that you could add those ships to the board. But add ships to the client, you know, to that game, but put them off, have it so they were off the board. And so they were available to just move them onto the board. I'm sorry for the silence. I was reading about Mr. Jeff, who's over on Twitch, saying, here's a thought, which is during garbage cleanup process, after a unit moves, referencing its current speed, current turn mode, and expire point of turn, point of sleep. Okay. I think what you're meaning, Jeff, is I'm assuming you mean removed from the board. That I think would be a bad idea. And here's, well, point of turn, you probably wouldn't want. Point of slip, you I can see you wanting. And here's the reason why, and that is because of point of turn, that usually reflects. The point counters, you know, that distance there, that reflects the point of turn for the current speed. So you can't really delete it. Because if you delete it, if you change your speed from 15 and go up to 30, your turn mode just went up from 3 to possibly 6. And if that happens and you remove the point of the turn counter, that doesn't mean that you've actually successfully, if you're at 15, when your turn mode is complete, you remove the turn mode counter. But if you, the next impulse, if you change your speed from 15 to 30, all of a sudden your turn mode is no longer complete. So in that case, you should still see the point of turns on the board. Now, as I said, I think that okay, that's one thing I don't know for certain, which is maybe I should talk to Frank and some of the other campaign people. Oops, excuse me. Yeah, agree. Jeff, I agree. I was hearing the same thing on my end. I was just reading that Jeff said he badly messed up on his end. This is from earlier tonight. And he only hear fragmented crashes that are like throwing rocks down the mine shaft, which is basically what we heard on our end too. So hopefully you can enjoy. Hopefully Twitch is better, and hopefully you, and obviously you can still communicate with us, which is always good to see. Yeah, but Jeff, as I pointed out, if you change your speed, all of a sudden, if you change your speed, when you change your speed, automatically your turmoil is not complete. If you complete your turmoil at 15, all of a sudden you change your speed to 30, where your turmoil is 6, and you still have 3 more moves to go forward before you actually can, your turmoil is complete at that point. So, you know, I know that's an edge case where the only time that you wouldn't want to remove the point of turn is if you're about to change your, not about to change the speed, but when you have a speed change is up ahead. No, it's not. Jeff, it is not. If your turmoil is 4 and you move 4 times, yes, your turmoil is complete at that point. But if you then change your speed to have a turmoil of 6, if you have not moved any hexes, then your turmoil is not satisfied because you're at the new speed, which has a different turn mode. So now, if there's a rule that I'm missing, and I've been playing that wrong for years, please tell me. Just reference the rule, and I'll be happy to look it up and definitely correct based on myself and possibly many others. Now, I still think the either keyboard, I have the keyboard command already, maybe have kind of a checkbox, a bunch of checkboxes, so you can hide or show different kinds of ships, and that might help with so that basically that the functionality that's there is less hidden than it currently is. Well, yeah, agree. The max turn mode, and the max turn mode in theory should be 6, but actually it might be 12. Because the big question is, I can think about this for a moment. Yeah, again, I'm going off these really esoteric probabilities. Well, possibilities. See, so these are edge cases, i.e., if your tug picked up a pot, but you don't tractor a starbase to make turns. Actually, I hate that. Because if you tractor a starbase, the starbase has stabilizers on it, which means it does not move. So if you tractor it, you don't move. The only thing is, at the end of the turn, you can rotate your ship. That's my understanding when it comes to that, when it comes to tractoring a starbase. You don't change your turn mode when you tractor. What you might actually do is, in reality, you might actually change your turn mode per se. But, you know, you still have to move what you need to move. Your turn mode itself, that does not change if you just tractor somebody. That's true. Just saying that there might have been a term paper written about it. Now, I'd have to grab all of the captain's logs and read through them. I've got quite a few of them on an ebook form now. I don't remember all the ones I have. I have quite a few of them, though. I want to, at the end of the day, actually have a collection of all of the captain's logs in ebook form, so I have them available when I need them. Obviously, at the moment, I don't need them, but it's one of those things that would be nice to have. But anyway, the question then there is, what's the best thing to do, and would people find that functionality when it comes to campaigns? Because, see, what I was talking about earlier is mainly the whole idea of hiding point of slip and point of turn, and possibly have it so you only see the ships, that all the shuttles and seeking weapons, they disappear. Is that something that he'd be interested in as a player? Because personally, I'm interested in it because for large fleet battles, those things help tremendously to me. Anyway, so it gives me, I can hide, in the case of when you're fighting a large battle, I can just have it so I only see the ships. Everything else is disappears temporarily. And it's only for my board. It's not for my opponent's board. It's just for my board. And when you hide everything but the ships, then it gives you a better idea of where the ships are in location to you. Because you have all these stacks of icons, and even, I'm not sure, that's always one of those gotchas, which is representing a stack of counters. Currently, I think I pretty much have stuck on the whole idea of it looks like one single icon, unless you have different counters facing in different directions. Then you kind of see glimpses, possibly, of counters that are beneath it. Obviously, a lot of the functionality at the moment is focused more towards campaigns and fleet action versus tournament action. I would love to, another one is, I would say, another issue that I ran into the past week, and I'm not sure how this came about, but I've had it twice in a couple of days, I think it is, where people got, quote-unquote, stuck being logged in. And I'm not sure if that's something I did with the client or just a function of the excuse me, how old the actual server is, because of it's about, it's coming up to about that time in the lifetime of the VM to move it. Because I move every 3 to 5 years. Basically, I move it before anything bad happens to it. At least that's the whole idea. Because of, yes, their VMs are virtual. But even virtual machines can go down. And they could be corrupted or things like that. And you want that, you want to have it with backups and also, you know, and so forth. So that you want a continuous operation. And it's kind of my, it's my, what I call my insurance policy for changing VMs. That's, and of course, that's always a gotcha, because when it comes to SLB Online, if I move the server, I have to update the client. Now, I've changed it a bit in the client a while ago, so that actually it will connect using the name, so that with the name changes, the IP address associated with that name changes, then it will automatically be updated. But that's not all the different kinds of connections. I have some fallback connections which actually use the IP address just in case something's blocking the use of the lookup of the DNS entry, which can happen when it comes to what it thinks it's a virus. Yes, I know. It's kind of goofy. But anyway, I think I'll wrap it up tonight with that. So, I had a little discussion about the online client. Hopefully, to see some changes in it, both on the server side and on the client side, and of course on the onboarding side, and hopefully gather some more people into playing SFB Online or FedCom Online. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.